chapter 21, starting with verse 5. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to come again to your word. And thank you for the message of hope that we have in you. And just ask that you will bless this time and help me to share what you have me to say. And may our hearts be open to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is starts out with some kind of crazy sounding stuff. With sun and moon and stars and distress of nations and roaring of sea and waves and people fainting with fear. It sounds very dramatic, and that's part of a particular genre that we like to call apocalyptic literature. And it's apocalyptic literature is a genre, a type of writing that has to do with telling it usually comes about when you have a historical crisis of some point, so like a real life crisis that goes on, something terrible that happens, and it seems like everything in the world is going to end because of whatever this thing is. It's so bad. And apocalyptic literature, apocalyptic stories or writings are words that take that event and put it in light of the whole picture of God's salvation story. So it uses signs and symbols and imagery and figurative language, and it uses these like crazy sounding details or crazy sounding metaphors to describe how this one thing that's happening that seems so bad is actually just one thing in God's overall big picture of salvation. So that's kind of what the genre is that we're jumping into here in Luke. Earlier in the chapter, Jesus is telling his disciples and telling the people that are there listening, the crowds, that the temple and that Jerusalem are going to be destroyed. And for them, that's about as earth-shattering as you can get. That they can kind of point to and to mark their identity, the place they can point to mark, this is where our God has spoken to us, this is a kind of a source of where our culture is begun. All of these things, this is a place that marks who we are as a people. That Jerusalem would be destroyed was earth-shattering news. It kind of swept the rug out from under them in terms of the way they understood the world to work, even. And as Jesus is telling them this, he's telling them not to fear, and telling them to stay faithful, because God is going to use this, that this is not the end. That as much as this seems like the end of everything as they know it, that God has a bigger story that he's continuing to play out, that when Jerusalem falls, that's not going to be the end of the world. God's mission begun here, begun in Jesus, is going to continue to go forth. If you want to sum up Luke, you might say that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. That's kind of Jesus' mission here, and that's the mission that Luke reflects from this book. And so Jesus' mission to seek and to save the lost does not end when Jerusalem falls. And to reach the Gentiles, to reach all the peoples of the earth, that mission doesn't end with Jerusalem falling. To God's mission to bring about redemption for his people and redemption of all of his creation, that mission didn't end when Jerusalem fell. And so that's part of what this apocalyptic language is about, is telling them a bigger picture that despite this destruction that's to come, that that's not the end yet, that there is more story that needs to happen, that God is working out his salvation mm-hmm. in the world. And so we come to our particular text for today, and it's saying that there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars and on the earth's distress. And now he's talking about what happens when Jesus does return. So when the end really does come. So like all of these, there might be crises and things that happen that seem like they're the end, but it is not the end until Jesus Christ is coming. It comes again. And so now he's describing what actually that will look like and how do we know what that is. And he says there'll be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth. And part of that is language that helps us to know this is a change that's happening on cosmic proportions. That this is not just one nation rising or falling, but the very earth itself is responding to the coming again of Christ. Just as it did when Jesus was born, we sang about the star that was over, that appeared and lit up the sky both day and night, and that guided people to him, that there was a very physical manifestation of his being present in the earth, his coming. Just as when he died, the earth was covered in darkness and in the middle of the day. The earth itself was shook, it was shaken when he gave his breath. That just as there was a physical, the earth itself responded to Jesus and to what was happening with him. And that's how it will be at the end, too. That's how it is when he comes again. That the whole earth, the very earth itself, will respond to his coming. And it will affect the whole world. It's not just limited to what happens to a specific community of believers, but that this is a whole world kind of changing thing. When these things happen, that we are to straighten up and raise our heads because our redemption is drawing near. And I don't know about what you think about when you hear to straighten up and raise up your head. But I was chatting with my dad about it, and he was saying how sometimes he gets like the imagery of like in a basketball game or a football game where you have a team perhaps that has thought they were going to lose, and or maybe they think there's not enough time left, or they think this other team has scored too many points, or maybe they think that they've just made too many mistakes, or maybe that too many players have been injured on their team, and they think that at this point perhaps there's no way to recover from that. That there's no way to recover from all the things that worked opposite or worked against their favor. But then perhaps there might be something that changes the momentum. That something like a touchdown that's scored out of nowhere, or a really brilliant interception, or I don't know, like three pointers in a row or something. And that like you can feel the momentum change, and you can start to see the players kind of like straighten up. They might have been like walking around like kind of just like, hey, like we just got to get through this game, we just got to get through till the end. But you can kind of see like this like light come back on in them, and you can kind of see like them have some confidence again and start to play with some energy and start to be excited that, oh, like we can do this, like that they're we can have this victory. And that's kind of what he is being alluded to here, when you straighten up and raise up your heads, because this redemption is going to happen. That it's this posture of hope and of confidence. And that really is the posture for the Christian life. That's the posture, not just during Advent, but that is our posture each day, and despite whatever earth-shattering crises we may face. Mm-hmm. We think about the prayer requests that we had this morning. A lot of them seemed were either just heartbreaking or overwhelming, or seemed like maybe there were just too many things went wrong to recover from that. Where you have the child that hung himself, or you have the violence of the Planned Parenthood, or when you think about even globally what's going on in terms of the Syrian refugees and in terms of ISIS and all of this, or even just things that happen in our own lives where we think this is too bad. I don't know how we can recover from this. I don't know how life can continue on after this. And instead, when we face the things that seem like the end, we are to straighten up and to raise up our heads and live with hope, because we know that a redemption is drawn near. And we know that God, that Christ is coming, that he has promised it and he has said he will do it. When we move on and look into the parable of the fig tree, just as certain as when the trees come out and leaf, you know that summer is near. When the trees start budding, it's not the dead of winter anymore. When the trees start budding, if you've ever lived in a cold country, you know this. In the winter, no trees. Everything's brown sticks. And then when spring starts to happen, it's this like almost magical unfolding. There's like, you can just feel it in the air. They talk about you can feel the spring in the air, but you can like, there's this just this energy that happens when like all the trees start opening up, and as the leaves come out, you know, you can feel that summer is coming. Even if you have a cold day or two, you know that like it's not going to stay that way. And when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all is taking place. Verse 33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So even if the heavens and the earth are shaken, even if they're destroyed, even if the most earth-shattering thing that you can imagine has happened, that is not the end. And when God's word, until God's word comes to fulfillment, that he redeems all things, until Christ comes, we cannot give up our hope. We must live with this hope. That is everything that we are centered on. It would be a very puny faith. It would not be a super worthwhile thing if all we had were our sense that the past didn't matter anymore. If all we had was our sense of whatever went down in the past, it is forgiven, it's away. But then what? This is a hearty faith that we have, that the past is not only swept away, but that it's actually going to be redeemed. And that this story that we are part of is bigger than what we can see day to day, that it is God's story, that he is moving all of history towards this day of redemption and of salvation. And so we proclaim it in that song, Hosanna. We proclaim God saves. We proclaim that Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost, and that he is coming again to bring about this full redemption, because that is our hope, and that just as he was raised from death to life, that we will be raised from death to life, and it will happen on cosmic proportions. It'll not just be a redemption that it will kind of, I don't even know what to say. It's not like putting on a Band-Aid. It's like being dead and being raised to life, like not just putting a Band-Aid on the scars, but that they're completely healed. And that there's brand new life that springs forth out of it. And then we get this word of warning. After all of that, like, brilliant hope, we get this word of warning. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. And that day will come upon you, and that day will come upon you suddenly like fast. But it will come upon all people on the face of the whole earth. The same way that all kinds of strength, that we have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. I think the reason that he has to give a word of warning to watch yourselves in the midst of all this, and as he's telling us to live with hope, is that when you forget that God is good on his word, it's really easy to start slipping into temptation. I think a lot of times when we slip into temptation or despair or endless and drunkenness, like things that kind of ease the pain for a little bit, I think it's when we try to cope with the difficulties and the sufferings and the violence and the evil that's happened with things that are less than God's promises, with things that are less than God's word. And so when we try to cope with what's going on, and we don't cling to our hope, we don't cling to the truth of what God has said, that his word will never pass away, and to his promise of redemption and restoration, when we stop holding on to that and stop determinedly holding on to that, then it's really easy to slip into all kinds of temptations, all kinds of just muck that you can end up living in, and that's really defeated, and that doesn't posture you with confidence, that doesn't posture you with victory in Christ, but that postures and praise and adoration, but that postures you in defeat and just in sin, frankly, when you stop believing, remembering that God is good on his word. And so I think this word of warning helps is to remember that even when things happen, or even when you're faced with things that are as earth-shattering and as devastating, or as painful, or as violent, like senselessly violent, or as difficult, or as frustrating, or as incomprehensible as you can imagine, even in those things, to hold on with hope to what God has said, and to hold on with hope to what God has done for us and what He's promised He will do for us in redeeming all things. Because the alternative to letting go of that is that we'll miss out on it. That day will come whether we are living for it or not. That He will bring about that day of redemption. He will bring about that day of victory. He will bring about that day of restoration and the judgment and ruling out the sin and the evil. He will bring that about regardless of whether or not we are still following. Regardless of whether or not we are still remaining faithful. But the word and the thing that He calls us to and invites us to and longs for us to do is to keep believing in that, to keep our faith in that, to keep living like that is our hope, instead of living like we have no hope. And I think one of the best things we can do for our world and for our community right now and for our country even, for one another, is to remind each other to live as with a bigger hope than what we see otherwise available. Like to live with a hope that's bigger than whether or not something happens, than regardless of whatever works out with ISIS, or regardless of what may threaten in our culture, regardless of what may threaten on a global scale, or regardless of what may be threatening in terms of sickness or just neighborhood violence or whatever, or even in terms of like suicide. No, like that child that was but that to live with a hope that is bigger than that, and to live confidently knowing that God has promised this day of restoration. And I think that's one of the best things we can do, and it's like shining a light that as you kind of point towards that, you bear that light within you in the midst of the darkness, and knowing that will come. So I guess that's what I wanted to encourage you with today, is to keep standing living boldly in great confidence that God will bring about a day of redemption for this world, and that He will bring about judgment, and that the evil and the sin will have to go, and that what happens really does matter to the end, and that God is determined that He will bring about the salvation of the lost. And so we can also rest in that. I know sometimes it's when you get very tired, it's hard to keep holding on to that. But you can, at that point, cast yourself on the assurance that God is faithful, and God is determined to bring about this end. So sometimes we get to the point where we feel like, I don't know what's coming. And at that point, instead of choosing to fall back into temptations or other coping mechanisms or whatever, at that point, choose to cast yourself on the Lord. And choose to cast yourself on this promise that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So I just want to encourage you with that today, to live with confidence and with hope.